Perhaps you are not trying to whip a crowd into a frenzy. You just want to bring people over to your side. Choose your strategy and words carefully. You might think it is better to reason with people, explain your ideas, but it is hard for an audience to decide whether an argument is reasonable as they listen to you talk. They have to concentrate and listen closely, which requires great effort. People are easily distracted by other stimuli, and if they miss a part of your argument, they will feel confused, intellectually inferior, and vaguely insecure. It is more persuasive to appeal to people's hearts than their heads. Everyone shares emotions, and no one feels inferior to a speaker who stirs up their feelings. The crowd bonds together, everyone contagiously experiencing the same emotions. Use changes of perspective to make your listeners feel what you're saying. Orchestrate your effects. It is more effective to move from one emotion to another than to just hit one note. The emotions you're trying to arouse should be strong ones. Don't speak of friendship and disagreement. Speak of love and hate. And it is crucial to try to feel something of the emotions you're trying to elicit. You will be more believable that way. This shouldn't be difficult. Imagine the reasons for loving or hating before you speak. If necessary, think of something from your past that fills you with rage. Emotions are contagious. It is easier to make someone cry if you are crying yourself. Make your voice an instrument and train it to communicate emotion. Learn to seem sincere. Napoleon studied the greatest actors of his time, and when he was alone, he would practice putting emotion into his voice. The goal of seductive speech is often to create a kind of hypnosis. You are distracting people, lowering their defenses, making them more vulnerable to suggestion. Learn the hypnotist's lessons of repetition and affirmation, key elements in putting a subject to sleep. Repetition involves using the same words over and over, preferably a word with emotional content. Taxes, liberals, bigots. The effect is mesmerizing. Ideas can be permanently implanted in people's unconscious simply by being repeated often enough. Affirmation is simply the making of strong, positive statements like the hypnotist's commands. Seductive language should have a kind of boldness which will cover up a multitude of sins. Your audience will be so caught up in your bold language that they won't have time to reflect on whether or not it is true. Never say, "I don't think the other side made a wise decision." Say, "We deserve better," or "They have made a mess of things." Affirmative language is active language, full of verbs, imperatives, and short sentences. Cut out "I believe," "perhaps," "in my opinion." Head straight for the heart. You are learning to speak a different kind of language. Most people employ symbolic language. Their words stand for something real, the feelings, ideas, and beliefs they really have. Or they stand for concrete things in the real world. The origin of the word symbolic lies in a Greek word meaning to bring things together. In this case, a word and something real. As a seducer, you are using the opposite, diabolic language. Your words don't stand for anything real. Their sound and the feelings they evoke are more important than what they are supposed to stand for. The word diabolic ultimately means to separate, to throw things apart, here, words and reality. The more you make people focus on your sweet-sounding language and on the illusions and fantasies it conjures, the more you diminish their contact with reality. You lead them into the clouds, where it is hard to distinguish truth from untruth, real from unreal. Keep your words vague and ambiguous, so people are never quite sure what you mean. Envelop them in demonic, diabolical language, and they will not be able to focus on your maneuvers, on the possible consequences of your seduction. And the more they lose themselves in illusion, the easier it will be to lead them astray and seduce them.